thanks I made up my mind to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I faced the fears, shed many tears, but Jesus has stood by my side. When I hear Satan say, you're not even saved, you're traveling down the wrong track, I recall once again where grace withstood sin. Down memory's lane, I take him back, and I take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when the saints were singing of grace and glory, sweet melodies seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave, I walk him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. I never knew love till it came from above and took its hold in my heart. The sun now shines brighter, my burden is lighter, since Jesus gave me a new start. My songs have been changed, my life rearranged, my journey is now a new road. Now when that old accuser tells me I am a loser, I remind him how he lost my soul. I take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when the saints were singing of grace and glory, sweet melodies seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave, I walk him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. By his power divine, saved to new life sublime, I take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when the saints were singing grace and glory, sweet melodies seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave, I walk him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. I am saved.
Man, that'll get an amen out of you, won't it? If it doesn't, what do you say, Brother James? Your amen is broken. One of those. This morning, you were trying to figure out if it was hallelujah or hallelujah. You kind of went back and forth on that. You went from like English to Southern different times on those, but that's good. It's okay to say amen in church, right? That's good. All right, we're going to be in the book of Luke chapter number 4. Would you join with me? And as you find that, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God? Luke chapter and number 4, and we'll read down to verse number 13. Luke chapter number 4. And we'll begin in verse number 1. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God," notice how the devil started this out, "If thou be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread." Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answering said unto him, "It is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we humbly come before you and ask for you to speak to our hearts, that you'd open the word of God, and Holy Spirit, please convict and move in the areas exactly where each and every one of us are needed. I pray that you would help and, Lord, direct my speech and, Lord, my heart, and help every listener tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus Christ, after being baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He went to the wilderness, and the Bible says in verse number 2, it says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days of temptation by the devil, being led alone, Jesus Christ being the Son of God and God the Son, but the devil came to tempt Jesus. What a bold tempter he is. If he will go and tempt Jesus, he will no doubt tempt you and me. And he is looking for the biggest targets that he can get. And he went to the wilderness and went to tempt Jesus, and Jesus did not eat for those 40 days, and he tempted him 3 times, the Bible writes out here in verse number 40. He challenges him in verse 3, I should say, to command this stone to be made into bread. And Jesus, of course, he followed with Scripture that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He commands him again the second time, and he says, he said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, the glory of them will be delivered to thee, if thee'll bow down and worship me." What boldness the devil has that he would tell Jesus Christ to bow down and worship him. You know, Satan in heaven, Lucifer, his pride was that he would be like the Most High. He wanted the worship. He wanted to be God. And he challenges Jesus here, "If thou be the Son of God." And he tells him, "Would you bow down and worship me?" The boldness of the devil. Jesus responds to Satan and says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And one of the commandments, that God is the only one that should be bowed down to worship, no other God. He continues on to say in verse number 9, he brought him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee." He said, if you cast yourself down, just listen, just cast yourself down, throw yourself off, the angels will catch you. And Jesus responds to him in verse number 12, and said, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You know, temptation is a part of life. It doesn't matter what age that you are, you face temptation. I remember, first child being born, and you wonder, how do I know as a parent when my child is sinning? How do I know when they're doing wrong and they need to be corrected for sin? I don't know. The baby is delivered and they put them in your arms and you go, "Oh no, what did I do? What am I supposed to do now?" And I remember thinking, how do I know when my child is sinning and they're doing wrong? And then that day came. You know what I'm talking about. They know exactly what they're doing. And you say, "Don't touch." And they look at you and they go, and they reach out there. Sinners, sinners at a young age, sinners. And they And it's amazing how at the youngest of age, how a child in their nature but by choice have the temptation to sin. It's amazing how it doesn't change over the years. From that one-year-old learning in their sinful nature to disobey mom and dad. But it's amazing how it doesn't matter the age that you get to, there is always and still the temptation to sin. That temptation to sin that never goes away. Everyone will face temptation, whatever age or gender or stage of life, that there's a temptation to sin. Temptation is this, it's a solicitation to sin, an enticement to evil. Man, the devil is good at that, isn't he? Man, he is good at soliciting sin. It doesn't take more than just a few moments, it seems, that you turn on some kind of electronic device or radio, television, you go into the grocery store, you pass a billboard. It's amazing how sin is being solicited and enticed all around us, isn't it? Man, I don't know about you, but it seems like everywhere you go, you got to plug your ears and cover your eyes and you got to guard yourself. We'll be driving to church or driving somewhere praying, and I'll say, okay, let's pause and let's pray. And the kids will remind me, Daddy, don't close your eyes. I was like, I'm not going to close my eyes while we're driving. My dad would do that growing up, and my little cousins were in the car, and he would pretend he'd close the right eye, and he'd pretend that he was closing both of his eyes, and they would scream and cry. I was like, I do not notice that he's just closing the one eye and not the other. But it seems that you go through life, and everywhere you go, you think, man, and the devil is enticement to sin, his solicitation, and the boldness it is to promote sin is everywhere around us. That sin is being promoted to our children. Sin is being promoted to our parents, to the grandparents. Sin is being promoted everywhere around you. But do you know this, that you can face temptation and get victory? Amen? You can face the temptation around you and get victory. See, some people think, well, the world we live in, what could I do? Well, everybody's doing it. And almost like we don't have a choice. No, Christian, you do have a choice. You do have a choice. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have a choice if you can face temptation and get victory over that temptation. Understand this, that temptation alone is not sin. Temptation alone is not sin. For instance, Jesus Christ was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is tempted in all points. So if temptation was sin, well then Jesus had sinned and he had no sin in him whatsoever. The devil came and tempted Jesus, the Bible says, for a season. But he defeated Satan and that sin and was able to get that victory over sin. I love the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says this, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The devil's tricks and the sin of this world is nothing new. I think sometimes we think, well, this is the worst the world has ever been. You know, the world has been bad since the beginning of time when sin entered the Garden of Eden. Sin has been running rampant through this world since the beginning of time. But we do know that the world is going to get worse and worse. As the world passes away, the things that are legalized and promoted and pushed in your face all the time, you must be so careful and guard yourself from that temptation to sin, to start accepting the wrong and bringing it into your home and life. It's interesting how society changes over time, and the sins from 50 years ago that Christians have normalized. The sins that were abhorred and were preached against, that it seems that it's just some things that are just commonplace even for Christians today. That ought not to be so. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. With that temptation, they'll make a way of escape. I always think of this verse and I think of Joseph. And as Joseph was brought to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife was wicked and enticed Joseph to lie with her, and Joseph would have nothing to do with it. But there came a day when no one was in the house, and it was just Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And whether or not he knew that was the case, we don't know. The scripture doesn't say. No one else was there, and she caught his coat and grabbed a hold of him in that temptation to sin. And Joseph ran off, leaving his coat there, and said, I'm not going to be caught in a sin and doing evil, no matter who is here. Parents weren't there. His brothers weren't there. He was in a wicked land. But he said, I will not fall to the temptation of sin. He left his coat, and he said, I made a way to escape. You may think, well, it is cowardly to run away. Well, it takes courage to run away from sin. It takes courage. Anyone in the world can accept sin and march to the beat of the drum that the world is going to and promote sin and accept it. It takes courage to stand against sin. It takes courage and boldness, and it takes some backbone, parents, to raise your kids for the Lord. Say, I'm not going to raise my kids like everyone else is raising their kids in the world. Why? Because it's not working. The world's way is not working, I should say. God's way always works, but the way of the world that they're trying to raise their children up. No, there's a way of us. There's another way. There's the right way to go, parents, to raise your children for the Lord. We live in a sinful world that's getting worse and worse, but also we have a sinful nature. Every one of us, we carry with us everywhere that we go that sinful nature, that wicked flesh that desires wrong and desires sin and wants to go the wrong direction. Your flesh that doesn't want anything to do with God and His Word. Your flesh that doesn't want to go to church and stay faithful to your spouse and to guard your eyes and your ears. Your flesh that does not want anything to do with what's right. That flesh you carry with you, don't you? You got to fight that flesh every single day. We have a sinful nature. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The wicked, sinful nature that we carry with us, you should be scared of your sinful nature and where it could take you if you slip up for just a moment. Just a moment of not paying attention in just a moment could get you off course and could end your life. We have a sinful nature. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is what, church? It's weak. You must understand and remember this, that your flesh is weak. The verses I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. Just before that it says, take heed. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Lest he fall. If you get prideful enough to think, I've got it handled. I used to battle with this sin, but I don't battle anymore. I've gotten victory and I'll never struggle with it again. You better be careful. That pride will bring you low. We live in a sinful world. We have a sin nature. We have a real enemy. We have a real enemy. The Bible calls in Matthew chapter 4, in the same story about the tempter coming, about the devil coming to tempt Jesus. And the Bible calls him the tempter. The tempter. Satan himself is called the tempter, one of the titles of the devil. Why? Because he's as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You've got the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil that wants to destroy and to ruin your life. Young person, you better guard your ears. You better guard your eyes. You better be careful and afraid of your flesh, because the devil would love nothing more than to take you down. He would love nothing more than to take a sweet, an innocent, a godly young person being raised in a good home and to just destroy your testimony and to destroy your life. Kids, you better listen to your parents. You better listen to your parents. If they say, no, we don't, we don't, look at that. We don't listen to that. We're not going there. We're not doing that. You think my parents are, they're always saying no. You didn't realize that. That's our job. Our job is to say no, no, no. We're not doing that. Why? Because your parents are trying to point you in the right direction. Knowing that the devil is looking to snatch your life and to take your testimony, to take your purity, to take your innocence, and to get you caught with a sin that you'll battle with for the rest of your life. Better listen to your parents and listen to God, because we have a real enemy. Understand this, we're not tempted by God, but we're tempted by the devil. The Bible says in the book of James, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God will never tempt you to sin. He will never dangle in front of you a sin and try to catch you in a fault. No, no, our God is too good for that. He will always try pointing you in the right direction and shielding you from going that wrong direction. That God is there to help you, not to tempt you. Again, He will with that temptation make a way to escape. I want to give you a few practical truths from this point here in a little bit, but I want to think about this young man from Proverbs chapter 7. You maybe know who I'm talking about. I won't go into detail in the passage here, but the Bible talks about a young man that was void of understanding in Proverbs 7. He was a young man, the Bible says. He didn't have wisdom. He hadn't determined his convictions, maybe. Maybe he just decided one night to get away and out from under mom and dad's rules and to get away from what they told him. The Bible says he was void of understanding. He wasn't wise. He went out in the black and the dark night. If you haven't learned it yet, a lot of bad stuff happens in the dark of the night. And he went out in the black and the dark night, and he passed by the house of the strange woman. He went to go that way. I believe you can read in that passage, he knew where the house was. He knew the direction. He knew what it looked like. Maybe the friends had talked about what the house looked like and where it was, and he decided at night, I'm going to sneak out, and I'm going to go out at night. And he went by the way of the strange woman's house, and this strange woman had an attire that was not godly. Her speech was not godly, and her testimony was not godly. And she caught her in the night and had an immoral relationship together, and it started with a young man that there was a moment in time where he thought, I wonder if I just go out tonight for a little walk. I wonder if I just stroll by this street. What if I just go by? I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to go nearby. Does your flesh ever try talking you into sin? I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to kind of get a little bit close. The temptation of the devil. The Bible says at the end of Proverbs chapter 7, it says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. See, many times we don't see the end of sin. See, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth what, church? Death. We think, well, it's just temptation. It's just a look. It's just a website. It's just a song. It's just a friend. It's just going out. It's just temptation. I'm not actually doing anything, but it takes you down a path in your life. It's amazing. Once you start down that path, many times you've already made your decision. You've already made your decision, the path that you're going. Before you even get there, your flesh has already decided what it's going to do. Don't even go down the path. Don't even go that way. You struggle. You have temptation that is pushing you to go a direction, young man or young lady. Don't go that way. Why? Because many don't come back from that temptation. Many don't come back from that sin. And it takes you down, the Bible says, for this young man, it took him down to the way of hell, to the chambers of death. want to give you a few truths from Luke chapter number 4 about the temptation of Jesus. Look in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." This message, in some sort, it's not the same notes, but I believe this was the first message or passage I preached out of ever in our school chapel. I believe in our Cedars Row building. I believe this was the similar message I preached. I was just telling Joel that tonight before we were coming here. But as you look at this passage here, it says, "And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." I'm going to give you a few truths that I believe apply from Jesus' temptation to our temptations that we face as well. Jesus faced them without sin. Remember that. He's the ultimate example to follow in our lives. Never use the excuse, "Well, they did it, and they turned out okay." That's one of the lies of the devil. "Well, they did it, and they came back, and I just want to go try out the world for a little bit." You may try out the world for a little bit, but it may not be done with you when you want to be done. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus went of the Spirit into the wilderness. I believe this as getting some application from here, that Satan tempts after a spiritual victory. Jesus had just returned from Jordan from the baptism and the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and the Father in heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And as soon as he was taken up out of the water, he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. This was the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. The beginning, a spiritual event in Jesus' life. I believe that relates to us as Christians, is this, that Satan tempts after spiritual victory. You know, when you get the victory in your life and you've walked with God, and then Satan comes to tempt, you're on cloud 9, so to say, and you're walking with God and singing His praises, and all of a sudden, the tempter comes your way, and he goes down your path, and this tempter is good at getting you at a time where it may seem to be that you let the guards down, and you've had a spiritual victory in your life, and maybe you've confessed your sin, and you've gotten some things right with God, or you've been walking with the Lord, or you just came home from church, or from a teen camp, and God's working on your heart, and immediately the devil starts to tempt. There was a number of times as a young man coming home from a youth conference or a teen camp. Some of the most influential times in my life was teen camp and youth conference. And a few days of getting away and getting alone with God, maybe not alone because there's another 1,000 teenagers around you screaming their heads off, but getting to a spiritual place and spending time with God and hearing preaching and you make good decisions, it's amazing how many times you come home and it's pretty much immediate how the devil starts coming after you. But it's just by chance, right? No, the devil knew there's a young man, a young lady, there's a parent, there's someone that's trying to live for God, and you made a decision. We're not doing this anymore. We're going to be in church every time the doors are open. And you make a spiritual decision, and then comes the tempter along and tries to trip you up. If you made a vow, you made a promise to God, you better stay faithful to that. You better be careful and know that you made a decision for God. And if you made a decision, a proclamation, I believe that everyone should make the decision and make it publicly known. I'm living for God for the rest of my life. I want to do God's will for the rest of my life. Once you do that, you have a target on your back. And the devil said, "I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you." And the tempter comes. The devil tempts after a spiritual victory. Number two, the devil tempts when you're alone. After Jesus was led from the Jordan, from the baptism, led to the wilderness, and when Jesus was alone, 40 days alone being tempted by the devil. 40 days. It seems like the longest round of a boxing match that continues to go around. What in the world? Are we having 40 and 50-year-olds going around trying to make money boxing today? They've been retired for like 10 or 15 years. Why are people paying to watch them? I don't understand it. Anyway, that's a side point there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Mike Tyson fought like 20 years ago, but I think he's been out of his prime for a good while anyway. But the devil comes and he's tempting Jesus when he's all alone. When he's all alone. So it's interesting, you know, and not interesting, but you're tempted. You say, God, I'm not going to do that. Or tell the devil, I'm not going to do that. I was taught as a teenager to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. And to claim victory with the Lord. And it's amazing how the devil keeps coming. And he keeps coming. And he keeps coming. And he keeps coming. When you're alone. No one's around. No one's looking. No one's going to find out. I'm not going to get caught. But we forget that verse that says, be sure your sins will find you out. That the Lord sees, the Lord knows. There's nothing hidden from the eyes of the Lord. But you get alone. And sometimes you get weak. You get alone. And when you get alone, one of the best things that you can do and what Jesus did to Satan is you get alone. And when temptation comes, you spend time in prayer. And you spend time in the Word of God. And you build your strength in God. Why? Because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Maybe you said no 99 times, but that 100th time you gave in to that temptation. I'll say this, that everyone is going to face temptation, but also everyone is going to fall to temptation at some point. Everyone's going to fail. Before we try to claim some spiritual title that no one else can claim other than Jesus Christ, everyone's going to fall to temptation at some point. Not an excuse. It's just a reality from the flesh that we have inside of us. But when you get alone with God and you spend time in God's Word. The Spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. He tempts you when you're alone. Number three, I mentioned it already, but he tempts when you're weak. Satan tempts when you're weak. The Bible says in verse number two, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat. What does the next word say? Nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Jesus Christ, 100% man and 100% God, and he hungered. And the first temptation that Satan came with, very wise and smart, he said, why don't you turn this stone to a piece of bread? He was hungered. He was hungry. He wanted something to eat. Maybe like some of you here tonight saying, preacher, get done preaching because I want to go home and eat some dinner. How many of you haven't eaten dinner yet? Amen. All right. I don't know what we're eating, but we got to eat something. All right. Satan tempts when you're weak. He fasted for 40 days and the devil came and pounded on him with temptation. And he tempted him in the area where he was weak. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. Satan knows where you're weak. He knows where you fall. Satan knows where you failed in the past and he knows where to get you again. You ever watch those animal shows and you see the herd of antelope, or I don't know if you call them a herd of antelope, but I'm going to call them a herd of antelope, or you see a herd of animals and you see the lions coming around them and they get them surrounded, and what do? They go after the biggest, the strongest one, don't they? No, they go after the weak one, the one in the back that's not quite as fast, and they attack the weak. Satan does the same thing in your life and mine, where he attacks where you're weak. He attacks where maybe your convictions aren't strong, or you've not set up some safety measures and areas to avoid that temptation, and Satan tempts when you're weak. Lastly tonight, look at verse number 13. Satan tempted Jesus in three different areas, but in verse number 13 it says this, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. What's the last three words? For a season. He tempted him and he departed for a season. See, Satan is powerful, but he's not all powerful. Amen? Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Satan will tempt you, but when you resist the devil, he will what? Flee from you. But guess what? For a season. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. In a season, he'll be back again. You better lock the doors, right? You better check and put the safeguards up. You better be walking with God, Christian, because the devil's coming around again to tempt you in another season. The challenge tonight is in this area of temptation that Satan is soliciting and enticing with sin. Don't let him get the victory. Don't let him get the victory. You say, but I've lost the battle 1,000 times. Don't let him get the victory again. You say, well, I've gotten the victory 1,000 times. Don't let the next one be the one that falls. Temptation, it's all around us. You better put up your safeguards. You better walk with God. You better go in God's strength every day and guard yourself and pray that you enter not into temptation. And pray that God helps you to put up those safeguards in your life so that the devil doesn't get the victory. I'm tired of seeing the devil get the victory in people's lives, aren't you? I'm tired of hearing how the devil destroys lives and how he ruins families and children and people that are walking with God and people that are serving the Lord or whatever the case may be. I'm tired of seeing the devil get the victory. May we this week, every one of us, we all, if we have a reality check tonight, realize that we have a sinful nature, the flesh, and the world, and the devil that we must battle every single day. Every single day, you must battle that temptation, or Satan will get the victory. Don't let him get the victory this week. Don't let him get the victory. He said, well, I've fallen before. Don't fall again in this area. The place where you're weak, the place where you struggle, don't let Satan get the victory. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. Say, I don't know how long I can withstand the temptation. You pray and get close to God and that temptation will leave for a season. But be ready, it's coming back again. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help in this area of temptation, of struggle, this sinful world that we live in. Lord, we live in such a sin-cursed earth that every day it seems to try to overwhelm and overtake the Christian's life. Tries to get young people out from walking with the Lord and to hurt their testimony and to disqualify them from serving the Lord. Mom and Dad, the devil's coming this week. Guard against temptation.